Describe cleaning out in 4 words.
Time consuming. Very time consuming. Very, very time consuming.
Oh, don't just, okay. The next time you sit down on the toilet to squeeze out a baseball bat, Daddy, while it might be very, very time consuming, Hello Tushy wants to remind you one thing. Not only are they today's sponsor, but they're also the sponsor that's going to make sure you're spending less time scrolling on your phone and more time with peace of mind.
And I just want to interject that it is not meant for cleaning out.
No, but it does so much help with the cleaning out process. Yeah. Now, sitting on the toilet, squeezing one out, it's not only going to give you hemorrhoids, because that's what leads to hemorrhoids, is like over squeezing when you're on that toilet. But did you also know that men spend twice as long in the bathroom, and that is one of the leading causes of hemorrhoids?
Why do men like to sit in the bathroom, by the way?
Well, I don't know. Men? Why? The tissue bidet, though, cleans your butt with a targeted stream of fresh water, eliminating the need for painful wiping, but also making sure that you are not spending too much time at Costco trying to get your toilet paper.
You have something against Costco.
No, I have a lot against toilet paper, though. That toilet paper is so scratchy. So
it's expensive, too.
For the rest of your life, you can leave the bathroom sooner, feeling confident that your butt is not only clean without tearing yourself a new hole, but also making sure that you get in and out in under 10 minutes when you start installing the Tushy, which took no time at all.
Where was Tushy when COVID hit and everyone was panicked about not having toilet paper?
Honestly, I'm not asking for COVID to hit again, but we are ready to go. So while using that fresh water from your actual plumbing, it's not coming from your toilet. It's the same water you get in the shower and your sink. Tushy is going to be there to help you out and stop wiping until you bleed. Join 3 million butts who have already made the switch to Tushy. And for a limited time, our listeners get 10% off their entire order with your code WATT at checkout. Again, that's 10% off, Daddy, with what code?
WATT.
At HELLOTUSHY.com with promo code
WATT.
On with the cleaning. Okay, cleaning out. Your porn career in 4 words.
Very, very time consuming. How's that?
Welcome back to What's Your Safe Pod. I'm Amp.
I'm Mr. Christopher.
And today we're cleaning you out with a little bit of porn. Is that how you should?
Sure. That sounds good.
It's a sex education podcast. It's got a few kinks, but those two kinks are both sitting in the same room, so it's at least somewhat balanced, I suppose. Daddy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. It's been a good week.
What has your week looked like? What have you done? Give us an update.
Oh, okay. So I started a new club on Friday night, which a lot of people turned out for, called Ashhole.
Okay. Do you want to rephrase? You started a new club or a new event?
New event. What's the difference?
A club is like a full space overhead.
Boop, 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 boop.
Well, don't just start making space sound effects to try to disregard that you're making things.
No, he's making club noises. Warp, 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 whoop, whoop.
What club do you go to that makes those sounds?
Isn't that what the kids do? Anyway, okay, so I started a new cigar social in San Francisco called Ashhole, and we're doing it at the parklet at the Powerhouse. Well, of course, we set it all up and it starts pouring rain, which made me stress out a little bit because I was like, nobody's going to come in the pouring rain. But we had about 30 to 40 people there, and it was a really good event. And they all huddled under the parklet, which was leaking. So it was kind of a wet event.
But kind of.
Everyone had a good time.
Yeah, and you had like this little like mat in the background. That I want to commend you for the event. The turnout was amazing considering the weather, so it'll be even better next time. It'll be every, fourth Friday?
It's the fourth Friday. It's the opening act for Stank, which is a really popular club or event, whichever you want to call it.
It's not a club. The club is the Powerhouse. The event is...
Okay, semantics.
No. That's not the same. I was like saying, oh, COVID versus the cold. Different things.
That is not a good analogy.
What's a better analogy then?
I have no idea.
It's like saying toilet... Uh-huh. Versus bathroom. The overhead is the bathroom, but when you're talking about the toilet, that's a different thing.
All right.
Cleaning out. No. Which we just did a video on.
I think you're obsessed with the ass. We just put a video out, so you are really into this.
I'm obsessed with the ass.
I think you've been sitting on your tushy too long.
I sit on my butt all the time. And I also sit like a gay person, which like apparently...
Wait, do you do your legs crossed?
I always sit on, no, not on the toilet, on my chair.
Oh. I was like picturing you on the toilet with your legs
crossed. That would be too much. That would be too much.
Can you poop like that, do you think? I've never even thought of that.
Don't, I'm the one obsessed with the butt.
Somebody do that. I want to see this on Twitter.
No, don't do that. Don't worry yourself. My week, thank you for asking.
How was your week, by the way?
Well, we put up a new video all about cleaning out. That's where I was trying to go with the butts.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And it's given me all sorts of funny comments to read through. Y'all are so funny. I mean, we talked about space and NASA in that video. So it was kind of all over the place, but that's because we were answering y'all's questions. And that is kind of the run of the mill here, as we ask you guys what you want to know about, and we answer the questions inadvertently.
The best we can.
Well, the best we can, but usually with like a little bit of education. And so today's episode is going to be all about that. We're going to be answering all your porn myth questions and maybe dispelling the tea.
Dispelling the
or cum. Not that. Or at least dispelling maybe some myths that exist. Because again, Daddy, you've been in porn over what, 35 years now,
I feel like? Yeah, I started when I was 20 and I'm 55 now. So that's 35 years. Yes, you are correct with that math.
Thanks, I'm good at math.
Yeah.
And then I started in 2012. So almost 12 years going on.
Look at you.
I know. Thanks. I remember getting into porn, but of course, before we even get into that, let's dispel some tea. Daddy, daddy,
daddy, daddy, daddy, daddy. Okay, so you know how I have been on this kick lately of just getting rid of stuff. If you don't use it, get rid of it, because my house...
I wish you'd stop.
I know, but my house, because we get so much stuff for the show, my house becomes like ground central for things. Anyway, so this has been my new thing. If something's on the floor or falls off a table and I don't know what it is, or I throw it away. So... the other thing is people use my house when I'm out of town. So like I came home and... my friend who had used it had nipple suckers on the floor when I walked in.
And then broke a glass, and then I cut myself on that glass one time.
Yeah, if you break glasses in someone's house, let them know.
Clean it up. So, that was the full glass. I'm sorry.
So I got home from Europe, and I like was walking through my bedroom, and I step on this ball in my carpet, and I pick it up, and it's like this little tiny metal ball, and I don't know. It looks like a BB. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's from a piercing, right?
Well, I didn't think of that then. So I threw it in the trash. So I'm like, stupid. I thought one of my house guests said, I don't know. There was a BB on my floor. Well, then I was making the bed.
A metal BB?
And I come across this ring. And I thought, that's weird. That's not a nose ring of mine. And I like put it in my nose. It fits in my nose, but I'm like, that's not one of mine. And then I got in the shower, take a shower, and I'm like washing myself. And I'm like, where'd my geesh go? So apparently my geesh had fallen out. That was the ball. And then I had the ring, but I had thrown out the ball. The geesh is a ring that goes between your sphincter and your ball sack. Is that right?
There's a. Do you know what that area is called? Starts with a T.
The geesh zone. The taint.
We're in the geesh zone. No, the taint. The taint. I think is what isn't it? Isn't that the location of it?
Yeah, it's a Kenny Loggins song. He forgot to write. to the geesh zone.
Oh.
Anyway, so now I've got this geesh with no ball, and I go to my trash, and I'm like, I can't. My trash is full. It's ball is probably at the bottom. I'm like, I'm not digging through the. So I go to the jewelry place to get a new ball for it. Of course, my geesh is so old, they don't even make that model anymore, so they don't have that ball. So do you know what a geesh ball costs? Like that BB, do you know what that costs?
Can you ask that question again? Because I know what you asked, but I just...
Do you know what a geesh ball costs?
I don't.
Take a wild guess. How much a little tiny ball of metal costs?
$20.
$35.
Oh, that wasn't too far
for
off.
For a ball. It's like,
well, it's a machine piece of gear. It's stainless steel. I mean, it's not like you're going to Claire's, okay? You're going.
So I now have a new policy that I don't throw things out for. I put it on hold for 48 hours to see if it's something I really need. I love that.
This is growth, you guys, because the number of harnesses I've lost because you give them away to boys.
Well, and then, so that's the other thing. I have like straps. I have buckles that go no to nothing. I don't know where they go. But,
okay. So can we also make a new policy?
Well, and then we just did a Temu video, like where things are flying all over my room. So I've got little straps and little cheap things here and there. Like I wake up in the middle of the night and I step on things from our shoots.
You can't blame me for all of that. Plus the Temu shoot, which will be coming out in a week or two on the YouTube. We were trying out some really terrible things. I have all that here. I just went through most of it last night.
I just threw away a strap just before I came over here.
I thought you weren't throwing away straps.
Yeah, I gave it 48 hours.
Immediately relapse. No growth. Okay, so notice how I didn't even know. I would love if you told me. Communication is key. We talk about all
told
the time.
Told you what?
There's leftover straps? I don't know.
Oh, it's not anything you want.
Okay, why do you get to dictate that? Because did we learn anything from this story? You just dictated that $30 or $35 was not something you wanted. And then what happened?
Whatever.
Can we put like maybe a 4-day?
So how was your week, puppy?
Change the subject, shall we? I mean, actually, I've got some tea of my own.
Oh, really?
Okay. I mean, it's not tea as much as it was just kind of a very funny story that I need to tell again. Mm-hmm. So, you know how dating apps are, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I use like Scruff. This all happened on Scruff. It's not Scruff's fault that this happened, but it was somebody scruffing out of nowhere, a blank faceless profile. There were no details on it. And they just go, and I'm getting ready for bed. Mm-hmm. So I'm like looking at my phone, catching up with people. And the person, their name's Sam.
Wow. You're calling people out on the air.
Okay. Well, do you really think there's any,
there's no face picture.
There's no detail. Sam is such a generic name.
Okay.
Anyway. And they go, and if you guys have had these experiences, let us know. But they go, hey, want a jerk? I'll come for you real quick.
Wait, you bro. Want a jerk? No, I don't want jerks in my life. Thank you very much.
I don't know. Yeah. So I say, no, thank you. And he goes, dang. Okay. Do you happen to have a bud or two to help me out, please?
A bud or two? Yeah, you're going to go wrangle two people to go.
And this is, again, this is at 11 Wait, why, p.m.
Are you evening. A pimp? Is he paying you for
no,
this?
No, it gets better. It gets better. Okay. And I say, no, also, your profile is completely blank. You might want to update that, get some stats in there before you start to pressure people, asking them to find people for you. It's very weird behavior. And I'm kind of like laughing at this point. I'm trying to be nice because it says that they're a new person on the site and they're like 22 or something. And I'm like, girl, get your life together. And they're local, like obviously because they're poking me. So I'm just trying to be kind. And they respond, oh, I'm sorry. I'm straight. And I might be curious. I've never done anything like this before with a guy.
Bullshit.
Well, to that, first of all, I respond, it is not my responsibility to get a straight guy laid. I support you in your journey of discovery. But the audacity of you to ask me with a faceless profile to find you sex is hilarious.
Oh, I deal with this all the time as a pro dom. Do you know how many clients will contact me? And when I ask, what kind of scene are you looking for? They're like, I want you and three or four of your buddies to use me. And I'm like, are you paying for their time? And why am I going to now coordinate three or four other people to be at the same location you're going to be at your time when I can't even schedule you and me doing it?
My tea is essentially a question. Are straight people okay? And like, there's no shame to people figuring themselves out, figuring out their journey, going through whatever it is that they are to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
But to not have any details, no picture, only have a distance.
That's just horny texting. They're just trying to get off.
The audacity. And I hope he didn't get off because the audacity of straight people with their privilege to try to get me, a gay man, to find
Would you have
sex.
Been less offended if they were gay?
I would have been far more polite. I mean, I feel like I was pretty polite.
Well, why are you rude to a straight person and not a gay person?
I don't think I was rude.
No, I know, but you definitely have a chip on your shoulder towards a straight person rather than a gay person.
I really don't. I'm just like, I literally am like, I support you in your journey, but this, the audacity of you as a straight person to not realize your privilege and try to come on a gay dating app to ask me to like, to pretty much hook you out is wild to me. And then I followed up, was like, maybe update your profile. Best of luck.
Pictures help.
Yeah. But I was laughing more than anything. I was not mad. There was no chip. I was just like, the audacity. That's a lion, good drag
name, Audacity.
The witch, the audacity of this straight bitch. And you know what, Sam? I hope you're having a good day. But girl, update your profile. And if I see you in my neck of the woods again.
Wow. Poor Sam.
What? No, what?
Poor little straight guy just trying to get
and
off.
And if you're listening to the pod, it was a great story and it was hilarious. But like, girl, just give me a few details, please. No, it's been a funny... Getting back in, I find when we're back in the city, like back in town, you do tend to catch up with some of the irregular people in your lives, from the friends to the distant friends to even like the hookup buddies that you sometimes see on the apps. Do you ever see that or feel that?
Yeah, I don't call them irregulars, but yeah, kind of.
I said irregular friends. I'm not, you are really listening today, though. I appreciate
you're
that.
Welcome.
I wish you would listen to the entire statement being made, but.
I'm on fire today.
Not this. Don't please. Oh. Well, that kind of leads into the conversation, because I also asked people on the social medias today, like their thoughts and their ethics. And this is the topic.
Oh, you're talking about fire.
Porn
now.
Creation.
Are you going to play with fire?
Last week, we talked a little bit about the drowning scene.
Yes, which several people wanted me to forward to them.
I know.
Yeah.
And what were the general consensuses of people? What'd you say?
It's not smart. It's not good. And the people that... I value their opinions on, we're also like, this is not something that you want to put for people to copycat, because people don't have advanced skills, and that's way advanced skills, and actually not even safe. So, and I think that one of those people then forwarded me the fire one with the dominatrix. Do you want to talk about this?
I want, more so than anything, I'm just curious. Someone is like setting someone else on fire and putting it on and putting clips up. I would love to know your take on that, as far as like creating and accountability more than anything when it comes to porn. It's relevant to what is going to be a bunch of questions from you guys around porn myths. But I'm curious, like, where does accountability end in your mind when you're doing a scene?
So what's interesting is I did do a scene. I did a movie with Graylin Thornton for Brush Creek Media back in 1997, I want to say, called Fire Water. And half of the video was water sports. And then the other half was fire play. And fire play is a real thing. It's using rubbing alcohol, and it's lighting the skin on fire and quickly rubbing it out. Right. And it can be done in a safe way in a controlled environment, and it can be very hot.
Literally.
I was waiting for that.
There you go.
But also it's an advanced level kink. And we did do it in a very erotic. We lit the room really. we lit it up.
You're on fire today.
I tell you. Coming in hot.
Last one, I promise.
Okay. So, and so it was really beautiful. It was a really great scene. It's actually one of my favorite movies I ever shot. we shot it at Blow Buddies. Now, the clips that are circulating on Twitter, one was this mistress who was just dousing this sub with, I don't even know if it's rubbing alcohol. It was something flammable.
So my question being, like, where does that accountability end? With before getting into like that, like, do you feel like there needs to be some sort of safety measure or caveat on
that video? We did put a safety statement on it, saying this is advanced level kink. Don't do this at home. Literally, don't do it in your home, because you could set your house on fire.
And in your scene, did you have like a fire extinguisher on set?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
all the safety measures.
Now that is much different than, as you were saying, the scene of a dominatrix literally pouring an unknown liquid onto a sub, lighting them on fire and saying, stay, and forcing them to stand there while you see flames all over their body.
They're standing next to a swimming pool, to be fair. And they jumped in the pool as soon as it got too much for them. But who's to say what's too much and how fast that liquid was going to go up?
Or because what the liquid
she was not measuring anything. She just
doused. You can start a pool fire that way with chemicals and how they layer on a pool. So anyway, this is what's starting this conversation today is my frustration with how easy some content creators just put stuff out there without a disclaimer, without a safety measure. Like with the pool stuff last week, we talked ad nauseum about like, are they certified in CPR? Do they know first aid? But also,
well, it's also
so easy for things to go bad.
It isn't really for education. It's for shock value and clicks. That's what these people are going for. Even the one that pushed his sub in the pool, even though the common thread is like, this is dangerous, you should take this down, you should, still up to this day.
Yeah.
He's not taking it down because he's getting the clicks for it.
I think that you got to be careful.
Yeah. And I think it also goes, I think it's an ethical thing too, whereas are we giving ammunition to our enemies by putting out this extreme stuff willy-nilly without any sort of, this is a warning statement. This is how the far right now attacks us. They go with extreme stuff and say, this is what they do. And so it's not helping us at all either.
For me, and I'm fully aware, like to have this conversation about regulating porn and how we do it, like would be very irresponsible, ironically enough, to not be like, I'm not looking to gatekeep porn. I'm not looking to kink shame. I'm not looking to be like, you can't do porn this way, but you can do porn that way. Because that's where you get weird laws that get enacted. That's where you get platforms or deplatforming. And that's what I don't want, is to deplatform and draw a line in the sand of this is too kinky. It reminds me of how we look at the history of pornography and like piss play, for instance, was a blacklisted thing that you couldn't promote in certain countries, right?
Oh, yeah. Even here in America, Bad Brad Braverman in 99 almost went to jail over water sports videos.
And for me, like there's varsity level kink, drowning, fire. And then there's piss play, which is like intermediate. Like you don't want to just drink anyone's piss. Like there's rules and regulations but rules you should do in the bedroom, but that's not going to like kill someone easily.
No, it's
way.
Actually pretty sterile.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so like that stuff, I would think that the piss play is not a bad thing to post.
No, but the far right and they categorize it as obscene and extreme play. And
absolutely. They do that about a lot of things. And so where I'm just like, I'm concerned of safety measures, you know, bodily harm of actual people and how easy it is to find that kind of stuff, you know, and within a couple conversations I had, like professional dominatrixes were like, oh, yeah, no, I do fire play. I'm not going to post that shit, though. That's being complacent if someone ends up finding it and then regulate or reproducing it. You know?
Someone tries to do it for the clicks as well and not knowing the safety involved. You are now kind of culpable in that. So if someone dies doing that, you had a part in that happening.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the spark. Oh God, sorry.
Spark notes.
I didn't know. That was what kind of was in my brain today. But also, I just want to talk about porn and creating anyway. So, okay. I regardless of what you think, where you lie within that spectrum of kink shame or trying to regulate porn or just let everyone do it as long as there's consent, I think if I'd like to leave our audience of sex positive people with anything, it's like, just be mindful about what you post and how you post it. Context is important. Intent matters, as does safety. And again, I don't think anyone in those scenes that we're talking about are hurt or harmed at this point. But I don't want it to flourish and like hurt other people that don't have a head on their shoulders for what kink is yet.
Right.
Like there's no rack, there's no SSC in any of those things because there's no context to a 20-second clip on Twitter that's not, doesn't even have like a little disclaimer. Even TikTok has more disclaimers than Twitter does nowadays. Like you see someone doing like the cinnamon challenge.
It's amazing what Twitter gets away with. I have still to this day to have no idea how nobody has come after Twitter for the porn on it.
And we're not asking for it.
No, I mean, I use it as a marketing tool, and I hope it goes as long as it can, but it's definitely not adhering to the Sestafosta laws.
Which
that's
is
for
a
sure.
wonderful segue. Oh my God, marketing. And so I put up a tweet asking y'all for what kind of questions you got about how to make porn. And we've told you how to not do some porn already today, but I've got some questions here, Daddy, if you are ready to answer. And the first one actually comes from a friend of the show, Zach, who says, how long does it take to get the money shot in a scene?
That's entirely dependent on the person blowing their load. Sometimes it's taken me when shooting a porn to come back the next day to get the money shot. People get in their heads, you know, they can jack, especially after you've been shooting for 5 hours and trying to stay hard, at that your body is exhausted, your low blood sugar, and then your brain starts feeling, it's like trying to pee on demand sometimes. Like if you feel like the entire crew is waiting for you to come, it takes you a long time because you feel that pressure.
See, I'm one of those people that can pee with a boner. Wow. A lot of people can't. That's one thing I learned with some piss play stuff is people can't pee with boners. So like,
no, it's very hard.
Thanks.
I don't get a boom boom on that one.
I think we've boom boomed out. We bottomed out on that. I am pretty quick to go. In most cases, I have
to. You're young.
I'm 34.
That's young.
Oh, thanks. Because all the kids online call me old. But
are you entering daddy territory yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because if I enter daddy territory, you enter granddaddy territory.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know where the lines are here. I think that the money shot depends on the person, their blood sugar, how long the scene's taken that day. We've had scenes that have taken multiple hours, like of filming, but then multiple hours just to get the money shot before that we've talked about before. But I've also had scenes that I was like, I was literally like, I'm ready whenever you are. And the directors are like, well, I need to make sure we have all this shots and all the positions.
Yeah, sometimes people come too quickly.
I've never come too quickly, though. There was one time with a Men on Edge scene. It went perfectly. Don't get me wrong. But I had to literally scream at them my safe word. Do not touch me. I'm going to come. And it's a Men on Edge scene, you know? And I was having so
much fun. What they're trying for.
I know. And I was the type of guy that didn't need a boner shot or a boner pill. And I was like, do not touch. I'm being serious. Let go of me. Breaking scene, like looking directly in the camera going, And they were still going because they thought it was hot. And I was like, no, you don't understand.
Safe word.
If
safe
I
word.
Come, well, I had a ball gag in.
Oh, God.
So the safe word for when you're doing kink scenes. You have the ball gag in. You do like circles with your head. And
but
like,
on a men on edge scene, that could be misconstrued.
It could. And of course, kink.com, lovely people. Love shooting with them. No complaints there because I had a great scene. Mm-hmm. But it was very much like, do not touch me one more second. I'm like, put your fingers under my taint right now to stop any ejaculation. Like, have you ever been that close to coming and you just had to do something to stop it?
Yes.
To stop. Oh, that was a thought.
So I'm trying to think. I try to turn my brain off and I just clench up and don't move.
Hmm.
Because any breeze will set it off.
Okay. I love that answer.
But yeah, everyone, and then depending on what they've done as well. So other stimulants, like some models do Caverjack, some do like
boner stuff,
like Cialis or Viagra or stuff. Those all affect you, your ability to come as well.
Yeah.
So you could be just stroking a rock hard cock for hours with nothing coming out,
which is not recommended.
Yeah.
But speaking of hours, next question comes from Shockload, who says, quality over quantity in terms of how long is a finished scene should be. Sometimes you have a scene that's really good at 5 minutes of video or an okay scene at 20 minutes plus of video with really good parts sprinkled about. What satisfies fans better? So I think the question is a short scene that's like phenomenal or a longer scene with like fluff.
Again, subjective. So you're talking editing at this point. So
no,
that
finished scene. Is what he's asking.
I know. Okay. I was getting there.
Okay.
So you're talking editing. So that finished scene of 20 minutes, you said had scatterings of good stuff. Now, if you had cut that down to the good stuff, you would have had a 5-minute scene. That was a good scene. So
why not both?
The other thing, though, is also you have to think about there is something different that gets every single person off. And this is why a lot of porn is formulaic. They start with rimming. Then they go to blowjobs, and then they go to penetration, two different scenes. And some people get off on the extreme close-up of the thing going in the hole, or sometimes it can be a facial expression. It could be someone's foot. It could be just ball sacks swinging back and forth. There is something different that gets everyone off. So you have to include it. And usually it's only 45 seconds that can get someone off. So you put in a 20-minute scene, that 45 seconds, that's where the person's going to go.
Do you, let's put a perspective. How do you get off? Like, what is, do you go to that one moment that you know is in that video that you love?
Yes.
Okay.
Every time.
Okay.
I skip the buildup. I go to them screaming in pain, and I get off.
For the record, and this is just a fun tangent.
Consensually.
Of course. I was going through some video footage the other day on a memory card trying to find something.
Was I screaming in pain?
No, but somehow your breeder fucker stuff was on one of my memory cards.
Why is that? But I love, that's my favorite.
Oh, I
that's
know.
My go-to porn.
I think I found the scene you like.
Woohoo!
I think we were moving stuff around and somehow that got onto one of your memory cards.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because On Guard's never been that exciting. Not that On Guard's not exciting. I would say to the question,
yeah,
why not both? Like, if you're gonna, in my mind, when you do an editing pass, you do an editing pass to get all the fat, and the fat being like the stuff that's
which
not
I
usable.
Try to do.
What if you have like a director's cut or an uncut version and a cut version to make it sexy? Like, what if you had a 5-minute version that is all the intense parts? Let's say it's a kink scene, but you have a 20-minute version that has like the sensuality as well.
Sometimes I do that. So okay. Like on my Just For Fans, I will release like it usually, especially with kink. So there's a lot of buildup and strapping down and tying up and those things. And people want to see that. But I will take a third, and so that makes the scene long. It makes it 30 minutes. And then I'll do an edited, condensed version of just the action once they're strapped down. So I do that from time to time, just because you're right. A 30-minute scene, who has time for that?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Next question. I kind of like this topic from Jumper, who says, how do you keep things separate? And they go on to say, I've been building my own edutainment channel, thought about porn, but don't want to get in trouble with YouTube, Insta for naughty stuff, even though I've made them somewhere else. So like, how do you keep things separate? Which is an appropriate question for us because we do educational stuff. We do funny stuff on TikToks. We do the sex stuff on the other sites. Like, how do you promote stuff but still keep it separate enough?
So I did that this week. So I had a very intense nipple play fisting scene with someone, and then when we were done, I was like, let's get a couple Instagram shots, and just shot torsos and smiling. And then on Instagram I can say, hey, just shot this scene. Can't say where.
Can't say what, really.
Can't say what. You can just allude to it. You can say fan site. That's about it.
What you do well is, like, very ambiguous. You post a picture where your nipples are clearly, like, freaking wide.
Rope
like,
marks, whoa, yeah.
And lots of rope marks. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward what they're going to see.
Jonah Wheeler is he's a master at doing this because he does a lot of, like, TikTok videos and Instagram shorts whenever he shoots a porn. And he will incorporate the PG elements without getting into trouble with those.
Yeah, we talked about that
really
a lot last
that,
week, too. Yeah. But I think that how do you keep it separate? You just got to be mindful of what site is intending for what. And it's really in how you don't say something that is important. Like nods to the camera when you're talking about certain things. Code words. Hand signs if you feel so inclined. But you just got to be smarter than the algorithms. Because the only way you're going to get in trouble is if an actual human, like your stuff gets flagged and a human has to look at it. Just don't be smarter than those robot algorithms, at least while they're still not as smart as a human, and you're usually okay. Let's see. What is a good platform? Oh, okay. Well, let's get into this.
Okay.
Zaylitics asks, what's a good platform to start on?
Can
we talk about the elephant,
like,
in the room?
For like fan sites, you mean?
Yeah, for fan sites. Can we talk about the elephant in the room, which is a certain site that we were talking about before pod?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Do you want to? So recently, I've gotten some messages from people saying that their accounts and their cards were being charged on certain platforms where people can't even access the site. So is my guy / is my girl something that we had started out and used a while back?
So here's the backstory on that.
Yeah.
So right before the pandemic in 2019, the owner of Is My Guy or Is My Girl wanted to do a gay site called Is My Guy. I was recommended by a partner that worked for the Free Speech Coalition, and we chatted, and they said, you have free reign. I'm going to let, and I was at that time, OnlyFans and Just for Fans had some limitations on like ABDL and certain kinks and stuff. And so
fetish negative. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, so can I have free reign of the content that goes up, and can we do like ABDL, can we do hypno, can we do these things? And he said, of course, yes, you can do all of those things. And then so we launched it, and I started to bring in friends and people that I know on that platform. I started using the platform. I wasn't even on OnlyFans at that time. And it went okay for 6 months. It didn't grow as fast as I had liked. I reached out to several kinksters telling them this would be a good platform instead of OnlyFans for you. And there are some big names that I'm not going to name that refused to do it. And now their OnlyFans are gone. So I wish they had come with me at that time and maybe it could have gone. But I pulled out in 2021. So the pandemic hit. Right. And it wasn't growing fast enough. They tried to do some promo for through the pandemic, but their focus was on the girl sites, and the guy site wasn't growing fast enough. Well, in 2021, my messages, because they were in Los Angeles, I had gone down to Los Angeles multiple times, met with them in the office, and worked on strategies of growing it. And then my calls weren't being returned, and they weren't putting as much attention into Is My Guy anymore. So I finally kind of had enough by the end of 2021. And I posted about it, and I said, you know, if you're on Is My Guy, now is a good time to jump ship. So I gave people forewarning. About that.
Thank God you did.
And the people that I brought on, I emailed them and said, you know, I don't think this is going to be a viable platform anymore. I would suggest Just for Fans because OnlyFans is getting even worse at the time. And a lot of them did. Now, I know some people remained, and now I don't have any association with Is My Guy anymore. And I don't know where that company is right now, but I'm hearing that they're not paying out their models right now. And so some shady stuff's going down right now.
Yeah. And it looks like about a month or two ago, they said they were going to do this huge update on the website. And apparently it's gone down since then. Mm-hmm. And so where do you start right now? Not there. But also make sure you do a little research in the platforms before you get really invested. Is My Guy, Is My Girl, very shady stuff of recently. But they've still been taking monthly subscription costs, apparently.
Yeah.
And we have no power there, obviously, but we hope that people are just canceling. And if you're still on that website, just call your credit card.
Yeah, I would call your credit card if I were you.
As for where to start nowadays.
But where to start now, I would really say Just for Fans. They really are trying really hard. They're a gay-run business. They do accept most fetishes. OnlyFans is just not... OnlyFans has a better algorithm. Because I still keep my OnlyFans up only because I literally tell my OnlyFans fans... I have way more on Just for Fans because OnlyFans takes down like almost any. If I'm inhaling poppers, they take it down. They take down a video of me every time I try to put it up. But those fans aren't leaving, even though I've told them every week to do so.
OnlyFans is the only place where I've had like multiple posts taken down immediately, and no one else is in the video, but someone was holding the camera. They didn't say a damn thing. But because I didn't tag the person doing the video work.
No.
Yes. Quite literally.
Were they in the mirror?
No. It was a 3-minute little video clip.
That's the first I heard of
that one. And it was like, are there other people in this video that need to be tagged? And it like flagged the post and didn't post it.
Oh, I would.
I said, no. And I tried to post it and said, sorry, you've broken the guidelines with this post because there's another person not tagged. And I was just like,
yeah, OnlyFans doesn't like porn. It's really weird. It's a really weird platform. So I think the best one out there right now is Just for Fans. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's a good insight. I would say if you have the bandwidth to do both, because some of this stuff's going to take off with the algorithm, but that doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to do
it, well. It depends on how fetishy, though. If you're just doing like suck and fuck, OnlyFans is a good platform because they have an amazing algorithm. So if you're doing vanilla porn, that's not bad. But if you're doing fetishy stuff, I would definitely say Just for Fans.
I would absolutely agree there.
And Just for Fans has always paid out on time. They've never had an issue with them in any way monetarily.
I will say OnlyFans, you have to manually go in there usually. Yeah. Just for Fans, I set a recurring thing.
I have recurring on OnlyFans.
I've had a problem with that too.
I don't know why.
Because their platform doesn't care about sex workers as much, in my own opinion.
Sure.
Okay, how about this? What do you enjoy most about doing the sex work? Asked Terrible Lotus.
I know this is going to sound funny, but it's working with people with collabs. It's always interesting to discover new things that they're into, and the way that they perform. I really enjoy working with other people. And usually people who are doing it and successful at it, treat it like a business as well, but they also do it on some level of what turns them on. You can't do this as a business if it doesn't turn you on. So,
I agree with that, but I also disagree because I know many people that are turned on by
it. You'll burn out so fast.
The girls in LA, I know a handful that don't do it for fun, and they really do look down upon the kink, but they know that it makes money.
Yeah.
And that feels gross.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to be into everything you do.
I'm saying it's harder for guys to fake it. The girls can fake it a lot easier than the guys can.
But those boner shots are very convincing.
But you can tell
sometimes if you know what to look for.
Yeah.
But that does actually lead into a good question that comes from Shannon, who says, what do you do when no qualified scene partners can be found and you're burned out on solo material? So like if you're a...
So why can't you find other scene partners?
Well, what do you do if you can't find a scene? I mean, you don't have this problem, it sounds like.
I don't... I'm wondering why anyone has that problem. There's so many content creators out there. There's got to be one.
They might live in the middle of nowhere. They might not have an access to easy people. They might not be on a radar because they don't have enough follow. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case with this specific question, but I'm saying, what would you do to reach out and branch out? For me, I would say go to live events and conventions that revolve around sex or kink. Like, for instance, Darklands just happened. They had an OnlyFans or Just for Fans location within the convention to like meet up mixers make content.
It's literally a tax write-off. You might as well travel.
Yeah, and be smart about it too.
So go meet them and shoot with them. I understand the maybe living in the middle of nowhere and not being able to find stuff, but even if you can find someone who's not an OnlyFans model or a Just for Fans model and willing to sign the paperwork, they don't have to be a model doing it for porn.
Well, but they have to be able to be tagged, though, because that is part of it.
Not necessarily.
On OnlyFans, yeah. If someone is in that scene, you have to OnlyFans, tag them.
But you can... No, you can... They can sign model paperwork.
You still have to somehow show... What I'm saying is you still have to be able to have the legal stuff, and that's a barrier for
That's
people.
What I'm saying, but they don't... No, you and I are saying something different.
Because
you do not have to have sex with an OnlyFans model to make it viable. You have to have sex with a model that has a valid paperwork proving legal age, and you have to submit it, and they have those forms to do that.
All I said was a barrier.
Yeah.
That's all. Okay. I was not disagreeing with you. But what about, and this is topical to that last question, is it safer to hide your face or does it really matter? asks Ash. And when it comes to hiding faces or showing,
safer in what was capacity?
That there's no follow up questions, Daddy. Take that question with you.
I mean, if you have a high profile government job, probably not even safer to hide your face. If you have any tattoos or anything, lots of people have been found out that way. That's a personal preference again. Yeah. Whether if you're doing porn, expect that someone you know is going to find out.
I have also heard though,
matter what you do,
we have friends that do gas mask related stuff at all times. Mm-hmm. If you know who I'm talking about, Daddy, who don't like OnlyFans because even they have got their stuff gets flagged. It's difficult for them to post things, and they have a full model release. They are the ones that run that stuff.
Yes, but okay, I'm going to be devil's advocate on that one,
please.
Because how does OnlyFans know that person behind the gas mask is the one that signed that ID? So without seeing the face visually, they do have a hard time.
Can I play devil's advocate or devil's advocate? Because you said that as long as I had the paperwork to upload, it didn't matter for OnlyFans.
I didn't say if their face was covered.
I said, what if they're face is covered and they're not in the video, and you were like, no, they can still do that as long as you have the paperwork. Like, OnlyFans is not the place to go for that. Let's just be very, very upfront about that. But showing your face or hiding it, there's that one guy who's just got a monster dick that just made a dildo that everyone's using, never shows his face. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Hung Skater?
Maybe there's a number of people, but there's this one daddy who's just got lovely body, huge ass dick. It's like 10-inch dad or something. And he sells a dildo now that he makes.
And he's never shown his face?
He never shows his face. Huh. But he's very good at marketing, makes all these scenes with these tiny little twinks, you know. And that's a
breaking
marketing.
Breaking them in half, yeah.
Yeah. Ripping them in half.
Oh no, God. I said breaking, not ripping.
Oh.
There's a difference.
Both sound terrible.
No, what's a lot more.
Trip asks, what is the most efficient way to edit? What software, certain techniques, amount of camera angles? Let's battle this one at a time.
Oh,
software.
God.
Best way to edit, what software?
So I just use, because I'm lazy as fuck, I use iMovie. It's so, I know you're going to cringe all you want, but it's...
I pay for a subscription for Adobe and you use iMovie.
I know, because I don't know how to use Adobe, but...
don't know or not try. Have you tried? Have you tried?
Yes.
No,
4 years
face,
ago, I hated
that
it.
That face does
anyway,
not tell me you tried.
I did try. You were sitting next to me. We got into a fight. We were got into many fights over it.
Because
I hate being
I'm not trying to fight. I know, but Adobe Premiere is great.
I can't teach an old dad new Adobe.
Girl, you just learned TikTok. Don't even try.
Yeah, and that because you can. It's easy to edit on TikTok. It's not Adobe.
I would say if you're using a phone, CapCut's lovely. Lots of effects there. And even if you're a daddy, looks at daddy.
Yeah,
it is easy.
Feel that. So how I shoot usually is I do a GoPro as a wide shot and then a second GoPro as an overhead shot. And then I use iPhone for close-ups. And then I layer the two GoPros on top of each other, use the best audio from the two. And then anytime I see myself holding the iPhone in the GoPro, I cut that out and put the iPhone shot in.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
GoPros are so pixelated, wonderful for action shots. You're not really doing too much action. Is the quality good enough for people?
It depends on the lighting.
Oh, okay.
So if it's well lit, it's fine.
I'm completely the opposite. I think GoPros, while a nice backup camera, literally just a backup camera, they're terrible quality. Some of them. And
the newer ones are pretty good. But it's really all about lighting.
It is about lighting. I really like using a DSLR, but I know you don't because they don't.
You're talking me into it. I might try.
Okay. I think DSLRs are great. You got to keep in mind like the file
size. Oh, I thought
you meant
DJI.
I said DSLR.
Okay. Yeah. DSLR. So those don't stay in focus because if you put it on autofocus and you move, it goes trying to follow you.
You turn off autofocus.
Well, yeah, you do that and then you move and it's out of focus.
Daddy doesn't like DSLRs.
Yeah.
But I do really like.
So you need a
like
camera operator for
DSLR. My DJI is probably my favorite new little toy. Yeah. It's like, what, $600, but it's optimized with 4K. It looks far better than a GoPro.
Sure.
And it's able to sit on its gimbal axis and it can track a face, or you can set it on one spot, or it's a pretty cool little tool. This is not sponsored, I want to be really clear. But it,
maybe
it also
we should contact them as a sponsor.
Helps. Oh, I doubt it. But hey, DJ, hi, if you're listening. But it also allows you to do vertical or horizontal filming.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fashion forward for like internet and how content is moving. Mm. I think that it's really slick the way that it does that. As far as techniques for filming, Daddy kind of explained it. Have multiple shots.
Yeah, it have helps, more than one angle, because I see too many, and probably because I've shot porn for 30 years, I see too many people putting their iPhone just in the corner with a super wide shot where you can't see shit except these two guys going at it. And there's that gets very boring after a while. So have a second angle at least, and do handheld, because handheld is the most dynamic.
People like POV.
Yeah.
Just make sure you
POV
it's
is
very clear
point of view.
If you're I think people know that, no?
Well, okay. You always make me stop and explain things when I do an acronym.
Well, like a geesh is different.
For the
than
people
POV.
Who might not know out there, Am, could you please explain what POV is?
Yeah, penis on vagina.
No.
Okay, Jetski asks then, good follow up. Lighting. What does your setup look like? How do you make it look pretty?
That is such a hard question to answer.
If you're doing a POV, I find that having a little bar light next to your camera in like your hand, we use these little magnetic rechargeable USB lights.
They have ring lights that go around your phone as well.
Sure.
I tend to light the room though. A lot of times just bouncing a bright light off a white ceiling gives you a good fill light. Don't shoot into windows. Ever.
Yeah.
Because
the back being
that
backlit
will
that way.
Blown out and backlit, it's not good.
You have to keep in mind eyeballs are different than a lens. Mm-hmm. And exposure is going to change drastically how something looks.
If you do have a window in the room, use that as your front light as long as it's not
sun.
High noon sun. And it's flaring through your window. A nice cloudy day gives you a nice fill light.
Overcast eliminates shadows.
Yes,
that's why photographers, if they're ever trying to get like textured photos or something that has a lot of texture to it, shadows are your worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people like to use those big voluptuous like they look like umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
Because that disperses the light almost like a cloudy day, like clouds. That is the best kind of lighting and why photographers love
it's
that.
It's literally called a filter.
What is?
That.
Oh, like, you mean, wait, what? The umbrella is?
Mm-hmm.
It's called a filter? Oh,
well,
I didn't know that.
I mean, a diffusion.
They
put diffusion to diffuse the light.
Got it. Yeah. It's a technique called diffusion.
Okay.
I would love the next one go. Other than fluffers, I would love to know, is there any other roles that surprise you in porn? Thinking makeup artist, wardrobe, etc. Ask Gay Bear.
Oh, so when I worked for Falcon and Colt, we always had a makeup artist, and that was just to like hide blemishes and make their cheeks just a little bit rosier. We also used to make Falcon models go get a tanning bed with a Speedo on, so their butt was lily white, or there was a Speedo line, that was Falcon's signature in the 90s. But yeah, makeup artist was always fun on set. They were, they keep the mood up because they usually are very vivacious and enjoyable to be around.
Okay. I would say that nowadays with everyone being their own content creator, having a little bit of work or at least know-how with some makeup is helpful for like blemishes. I don't think it's necessary, but I will say, when it comes
sometimes
to
sometimes it is. If there's a sure. big pimple on your ass, please cover it.
But sometimes some people
because that's
can't.
All you're gonna see. Yeah. Also, if you're doing a fuck scene, take rings, jewelry, and watches off, because that in a close-up is so distracting.
So that's how the geesh ball got there.
Yeah.
I would say that as far as other jobs that you don't really think about, and even tanning, like I've been asked to get manicures and pedicures and a tanning for at least 2 weeks before studio mm-hmm. shoots. And this is why I'm so glad studio shoots are not as popular. I miss the fun adventures that you would get with studio shoots, but like sometimes it was unrealistic what they would ask these college kids, you know, at the time to do.
They don't have time to go or pay for a tanning bed.
Sometimes they wouldn't even pay for those procedures. They would just expect your feet to look pristine.
Yeah.
But like, girl, I played soccer for 20 years.
We used to call it going through the car wash. We'd get these models off the plane and they'd be like these scraggly skater boys. And we would take them tanning, manicure them, bleach. Once Beg for It in this movie, we bleach blonded his hair so much his scalp burned.
Oh my god.
Poor kid.
And then he had to have sex.
But he, to so this painful. Day, every time I see him, he's like, that was the best photos of my life.
Well, I'm glad and he enjoyed it.
He looked so good for it.
Oh my god. Poor guy.
The cover of Big for It.
Howlett asks, and just watch this week's video, but they ask average amount of time one's expected to douche. And should douche and does douche? Well, yeah, you should douche if you're
doing sex. We just covered that in the What's the Safe Word episode.
Average amount of time, probably 1.5 to 2 hours.
What?
For a bottom that's about to fuck for 7-8 hours? Or not? No?
You douche way too long.
No. Okay. Would you like to talk about the 10 douching again, guy? I would say 1 to 1.5 hours is probably... If you are a bottom in a scene, Mr. Top over here, how often did you bottom in a studio scene?
I never did studio scenes.
Oh, and you're judging me.
I shot plenty of them, and if I had a bottom taking 2 hours to cocktail, I would have been upset.
The bottoms and tops, all the models would get call times. So bottoms generally would subtract 2 hours, so you had enough time to make sure you're good and still have a little bite to eat.
And then we do a spot check before
I can't
we
take
shot.
The bottom shame over here.
It's
God.
Not bottom shaming, but Jesus Christ. If I was waiting around for 2 hours for the bottom to finish
douching.
You're
not waiting around because a professional bottom would subtract that time.
Yeah, but half the people we get are not professionals.
Back in the day. No.
And we would give them like a Fleet enema bulb at that time.
Oh,
they didn't even
dangerous.
Get a shower
I
shot.
Know, we talked about that. Fleet enemas do not magically get rid of the shit, by the way. They give you the runs if you leave that saline solution.
I'm
going to
say
do it.
Hour max.
I'm going to say 1.5 hours. You never know if you're having a bad stomach day.
Well, yeah, it's all dependent on diet and knowing your body, truthfully.
But let it be known that apparently 1 hour is too long if you're trying to shoot for 7.
I'm saying 2 hours. You said 2 hours. No
way. I will say 1.5 hours average. Fine. Another question. This one says, another recording question. Is it better to start off doing it on your own or go and apply to studio? Oh my god, are there still studios?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know if there are. I mean, Falcon does exist. Naked Sword still has a production company in Vegas. I don't know who's paying for it these days. So here's the thing. So I'm assuming this is a model who's just starting out and doesn't know where to begin.
I think this is a person that hasn't done anything yet.
Right.
Want to know where to start. Yeah.
So first thing you want to do these days is build up your social media. So put some images out there. Pick a social media name that you're going to use across all platforms, please. That's where you start. Buy that URL, by the way, too. Make sure it's available.
Explain that, because that's a complicated thing. Buy what URL? Like, what you mean by that is buy a URL for whatever username?
Whatever name you are. So, like, I have I always say MrChristopher.com. I've had that for 25 years. I can point that to anything. So, if Just for Fans went down, I could send it over to OnlyFans. I could put it... I direct where that goes, and my followers will always know they can use MrChristopher.com.
And we use that for our personal accounts, but we also have whatsasafeword.com. We have like a safewordshop.com.
Safe pod.
We have a number of things. So it doesn't just apply to porn either. That's just a smart tactic for when deplatforming happens, websites go down, and you want to own where something goes. Because that search engine optimization, the Google cache there is still going to be applied. Even if a website goes down, that it's redirecting, if that makes sense.
Now, my bread and butter comes from my fan sites. So that's where I make the majority of my income. But I do still do studio porn like Carnal Media. I do the Daddy Boy porns because they do have marketing capabilities. I don't. They reach an audience that would... Because not necessarily into fetish, but they're into the Mormon boys and taboo kinks like that, and daddy son things. So they're marketing that with professional photography out there. So that keeps my name kind of in the papers, let's say. So that is one advantage of doing studio porn. The amount of studio porn out there is getting scarcer and scarcer and scarcer.
True. So, yeah, studio porn is not really the option we generally point people to, but it's so fascinating talking about porn. And even, like, looking back, I was just seeing how many, like, porn advice episodes we've given. It's been, like, 4 or 5 over the years.
Sure.
And how it's changed so drastically. It's changed since we started.
And I've been in this game since 1991. And so I've watched porn go from VHS tape to DVD to the internet, and then, like, studio porn internet, and then streaming, and now it's to fan sites. So porn is the delivery mechanism, and the monetization of porn has constantly changed and evolved, and you have to roll with those punches.
But you know what's not changed with porn?
No.
The content. People are still making it. It still exists. People are still horny and want more of it and want it to exist.
And now there's more porn than ever. And so this is why I'm personally not going to be mad if Twitter does have to shut down the porn thing. I know, but because there's so much free porn now. Mm-hmm. So the people who pay for fan sites now are true fans. They are doing it to support a entertainer or a content creator because they appreciate what they do. I probably have lots of fans that don't even watch my porn, but they want to support me, which I appreciate because that allows me to keep doing this. Because I'm not making $1 million on What's the Safe Word. Let's put it that way.
No, we don't. Well, but everything nowadays is microtransactions and mm-hmm. diversifying your income for content creators, at least. Obviously, the real world jobs, quote unquote real world, that the fallacy that porn is not a real world job is always funny to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not a real world job until the nighttime rolls around and you want to go to bed, but you want to jerk off real quick. The double standards there never, never pass by me without a little giggle, ha ha hee hee. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, everything
and creating porn has never been easier. We used to have huge cameras, lighting boards, reflector boards, and huge lights, and that overheated and were very hot to shoot under. Now the lighting has changed. Everyone has a really phone. Good camera in their pocket that they can just edit and upload from. We used to have to sit in editing bays editing this stuff.
And so that's a great, it's a double-edged sword because that's great. Everyone can create and make, but also.
But they are.
Oh my God.
Everyone's doing it.
Creating and making. And you don't want everyone to create, honestly. Yes. We're finding out more and more as people create things that are just a little like, don't do that, please.
Yeah. Like, so you really think about it if you really want to do this and if you're going to do it for the long haul, because I see lots of people start up a Just for Fans site and they'll put up 5 or 6 videos and then be like, oh, why don't I have 100 followers? And then they stop putting something up and then they think they can just put something up every month. Well, I guarantee you any follower that you had is going to leave you because you're not putting up quality content on a regular basis. And once you lose a fan, you're never getting them back. And then it also puts a bad taste in people who pay for it because they see this hot guy, they want to contribute to their fan site, then they go to the fan site and they feel like they were duped because there's nothing on it. So check out people's profiles and how many videos they have up there and how frequently that they post before you buy.
Agreed. I think that it is a fascinating world that is sex work, and so many people want to learn about it and know about it. Not many people want to do it before they get into it, you know? Right. And I think that it's one thing to be like, I'm hot and or I am attractive and or I make things that I think people really want to watch. But it's another thing to actually do it. And so most times people are like, how do I do it? Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. If you legitimately have a knack for wanting to create, that you want to make something that people enjoy or get off to, or you even, there's no shame in being like, I make things and I want people to get off to it, you know? because everyone that creates content has a bit of a fame like to it. They want a little bit of recognition for the thing that they're doing. You know, that's why people exist on social media. There's nothing wrong with that. Just be mindful about how you do it, where you do it, and if you're going to make it fun. Because if you don't have a good time, it gets to be a chore, and then it gets taxing.
It becomes work very, very quickly.
And don't even get me started about taxes, by the way. Reminder, taxes are coming up.
Yeah,
sorry to be that buzzkill, but there was a few questions like, how do you tax it? You don't.
I mean, you do pay taxes on it.
I'm saying it doesn't get taxed. You have to save that money.
Right. Yeah, no one's pulling that out.
They don't take the taxes out.
They're not taking that out for you.
Yeah.
You're a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
You're 1099 and you're liable.
Oh, you're so hot when you talk money.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe I should be a thin dom.
God, that is still
you're
a topic.
Liable.
So hot.
Give daddy the money.
Yeah, use more money terms, please. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
all right, mm-hmm. That's all I got.
What about the ROI and surplus? Ooh. I love when there's I don't know money terms.
Deductions.
Deductions, investments. Ooh, deduct that into my investment. Daddy, if people want to deduct things into your investment, where can they find you?
Well, you can go to MrChristopher.com if you want to see the naughty stuff, and that will always point you there. Or if you want to see the PG stuff, Instagram, Mr. Christopher Weston, or TikTok.
And if you want to find me, my socials are usually PupAmp, but you can go to PupAmp.com if you want to look at my backlog of sexy stuff. I'll be honest, like, I don't upload as much as I used to, but that's generally because there's so much content.
Yeah.
There's so much. The upkeep in the YouTube and the podcast and the Twitch stream is my first and foremost. And then I upload sexy stuff every once in a while. But I would say that I'm not a full-time sex worker, and you are.
I am.
Yeah. And there's, again, there's
you're a full-time YouTuber and Twitch streamer.
I like to say content creator, you know.
I know you
and
do, but I'm narrowing down which kind of content.
Don't put me in a lane. Don't put baby in a corner. This has been What's Your Safe Pod, though, a What's a Safe Word production and podcast. We appreciate all the comments, all the likes, all the reviews on both Spotify and iTunes. Puts us in those recommended, and it's really appreciated. And we will talk to you next time, Daddy. Yes.
And we want to thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting us, especially our Patreons. Absolutely. Who, if you stick around, they get a little aftercare after pod. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear that and see us live while we do these, go join our Patreon, What's a Safe Word.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Ooh. Ooh, after pod. What are we going to do after pod today? Oh, my God.
Ooh, that's kind of... Now I want a cigar.
Next time, Cigar Cast.